This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. You know, a lot of kids have to be dragged kicking and screaming to practice the piano, but not Kimberly and Michelle can. They were chomping at the bit from a young age, and their hard work paid off. Both sisters became accomplished pianists and passionate music educators. Kimberly's a concert pianist and the founder and director of Piano Lab Studios in Western North Carolina. Michelle lives in Philadelphia and performs around the country. She is on the staff of the Curtis Institute of Music as well. Sometimes on special occasions, the two sisters abandon their orchestra's lessons and social advocacy work to play piano together, and today is one of those days. Kimberly and Michelle Can, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're so excited.
Happy to be here.
So exciting for me because, you know, we usually do our show in Durham, and it's a wonderful studio and a great community. But here in Asheville at Blue Ridge Public Radio, we have this beautiful studio in which we can actually fit two Steinway pianos and two accomplished pianists behind it. And I will tell you that you can't do this in Durham. We tried to bring two pianos in, but here's how it sounded. Yeah. It just didn't work. It just didn't work. So thank goodness you're here, because I know you're going to sound a lot better than these two Steinways are great. Tell us how you got started. Kimberly, let me ask you about you were in the family first. Tell us how you got started in music.
Well, let's see. I am the oldest, that is true, and our parents are West Indian American, and when we started out, actually, it was in a non-traditional way in many ways. We're lucky that they're both musicians and whatnot, and our father actually was one of the people at the forefront of bringing steel drums to the educational landscape of the United States, and we moved here from Bermuda when I was six, and Michelle was born, and long story short, both Michelle and I were chomping at the bit to learn the steel drums more than anything.
Wow.
And so musically speaking, yes, piano was our first instrument and obviously our first love. But between us, I think we counted about 15 different instruments that we have learned. And so, again, both formally and informally along the way. And I would say that has been such an important part of who we are today. It really formulated formulated the musical ears that we have to imagine that the piano sounds like a bassoon or a steel drum for that matter. And it also gave us a variety of styles in our minds from the beginning that we really loved.
Tell me more about that, Michelle. I mean, this love of music, which is something that you absolutely want to convey to others in your music education, that part of your life. How is it that growing up around all these instruments and just being exposed to it it seems to me that that's what engendered your love for this, right?
Very much so. As Kimberly mentioned, these 15 instruments, and that's between not just Kimberly and I, but we have two other sisters. So there was a lot of music in the house. I think for me as a child, as Kimberly mentioned, I'm 6 years younger than her. I was already hearing Kimberly perform great works on the piano. I was watching my dad conduct all the groups, choirs, bands that he conducts. And so by the time I was actually able to play the piano, I feel like I was already in love.
That's so great.
I didn't love to practice all the time, but I love to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, one of the stories that really sticks out in my mind, especially with my sister being right here, I love this. She didn't love this so much. But I used to, I would hear her play certain pieces that I was so inspired by her practicing, and I couldn't wait to learn the piece. Actually, the funny thing is, fast forward to the future, I've learned so many pieces she played when I was younger because I had them in my ears. But anyway, I had no patience to wait until I was at the level to play the pieces she would play. So when she'd leave the practice room at the home, I'd run in and I'd try to play the piece, and it wouldn't take long until Kimberly would come storming in and grab the music off the stand. And I don't understand. I mean, I thought all older sisters love for younger sisters to copy them.
It turns out not so much.
I guess not.
Well, it turned out kind of great. I wonder if you'd play something for us now.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. I think we'll start with the Jamaican rumba, right, Michelle?
Yes.
Yes. Based on a wonderful folk song, Mango Walk. Yes.
Thank you. The Can Duo sisters, Michelle and Kimberly Can, they are playing the Jamaican Rumba, composed by Arthur Benjamin, and playing live here in the studios of Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville on The State of Things. What a delightful song.
Yes, isn't it great?
You, Kimberly, I know you went back and you taught. I should go back. You went to Jamaica, right, to teach. What was that experience like for you?
I don't really know where to start. I mean, to try to encompass the breadth of that experience, it was life-changing, to put it very shortly. I'll start out by saying that our mother is a Jamaican-American, and I thought that I would just immediately acclimate to the culture. Little did I know just how deep and how just amazingly, all-encompassingly different it is than American. And so when it comes to myself personally, musically speaking, I fit right in. When it comes to cooking, also, I felt like I had that, under wraps from our mother. But other than that, it was just a very, very deeply interesting experience in many, many ways, musically as well.
Were you teaching all kinds of music?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It was at a university, and so yes, we did have a curriculum and a structure that was based mostly around classical music, but again, a lot of the culture was immersed into that as well, and it was so interesting. I learned a lot about what it is to basically do without, quite frankly. There are so many things that were needed in the communities, but yet the raw talent that was pouring out of these kids was so inspiring, and to see what they could do with so little really, again, was life-changing for me, and it taught me to be a little less materialistic and to really enjoy music in all of its forms.
Michelle, I know that music education is very important for you. Why?
To me, it goes back really to my experience in my childhood. Having my father as a role model, my older sister, being around a lot of peers who were in groups with me, and just that whole connection that I got as I was growing as a musician, I realized what it can do for a child in their development into an adult that has a lot of different options. And for me, I felt that as a teacher now, I think it's really important to inspire the children, because they're the future of classical music, as I am currently showing. And I think that, you know, not every child, of course, is going to be an actual musician, but exposing them to all types of music, all types of art, you know, as Kimberly was saying, even at the university, of course, the curriculum matters, but so does art and music. And for me, I almost actually went into medicine, because I also had that interest when I was young. But music kind of won out of the two.
You know, it's important, I think, to show people that they are, that they can appreciate music. I mean, so much of your identity, you say, well, I'm not much into music. And say, well, yes, you are. Listen to this. And, oh, that changes your perspective. I mean, how many people do you know who've done something like that and then heard one piece that inspired them and said, you know, I didn't think I really cared much about music, but then.
Exactly.
And you become an artist.
And that's my experience working with kids now.
I love music, and I'd love to hear some more. Would you do another piece for us?
Sure. Michelle, what are we playing next?
The Serenade by Strauss. Thank you.
There is the Serenade by Richard Strauss and performed by my guest, pianist Kimberly and Michelle Kahn. You remind us that this was originally the forte piano, meaning loud and soft, and the dynamics that you bring together and individually, I just think is wonderful. The loud and the soft is what the piano can do, and in your hands, absolutely heavenly. So let me just say how wonderful. I only have a few minutes left, and I've got so many questions. Kimberly, I want to hear about the Piano Lab Studios here in Western North Carolina.
Sure. I feel the same way. I can't encompass everything I'd like to in this interview, but thanks again so much for having us, Frank. Piano Lab Studios is the brainchild and the labor of love of actually my husband and myself. About 9 years ago, we moved here, married, and founded the studios. Basically, what we tried to do, he's an accomplished Eastman-trained musician as well, and we tried to create the music lessons that we wish that we had fully had as kids, and that includes more ensemble work. That includes more for all ages, and so from newborns and kinder music class all the way up through adult amateur performance groups that we have, and obviously lessons for adults and all through, and mentorship for you know, high school and college students who could use additional help and basically assistance in learning how to teach and mentor the younger. I think, and I want to give a quick plug to Asheville at large and its arts community. It is amazing. The Asheville Symphony, the Chamber Music Society, the Asheville Area Piano Forum all do and continue to do more and more excellent, excellent work at bringing the educational landscape to of Asheville, which is a relatively small community, as you know, up to the level of quite frankly, what big cities are doing. You know, it's just amazing. And I think it's inspiring, and people should continue to get more and more involved in the music education of the young. As you said yourself, Frank, when it comes down to it, it's about exposure, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so people need to be able to hear this music. They need to understand the full import of what it can give to the young, as well as the old, and what we can bring and continue to bring as we support and emphasize that in the arts.
I want to thank you both for all the great work that you're doing, inspiring young and old to fall in love with music and stay in love with music. I'm talking with sisters Kimberly and Michelle Kahn. Kimberly, a concert pianist and founder and director of Piano Lab Studios. Michelle, a concert pianist who performs around the country and on the staff of Curtis Institute of Music as well. I've left you time to play us one more song, but I'd like to first say that this is The State of Things, produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton, Norman, Laura Pelliser, Jennifer Brooklyn. Robin Copley's our technical director, but I want to thank Lee Wiltshire and Dick Cole, who helped out, and thanks to Blue Ridge Public Radio's David Feingold, Barbara Sayer, and Matt Bush for hosting us here in Asheville, a place where we can have two Steinway pianos and two fabulous musicians. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, Kimberly and Michelle Kahn.